Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You'll find that on page 1651, page 1651 in the Pew Bible, 1 Corinthians 7, reading verses 1 through 16, focusing on verse 14. We'll read that in connection with our Confession of Faith and the Heidelberg Catechism. You find that in the Forms and Prayers book, page 229, Lord's Day 27. We're learning about truth that we can touch in the waters of baptism and in the Lord's Supper, the sacraments of the church. And we're picking up where we left off there on baptism. How do we know that Jesus loves us? The Bible tells us so. And if we've been baptized, baptism tells us so as well. There's an outline of the message for you in the bulletin as we study the Word of God, trying to answer who are you? Are you going to let Jesus tell you, am I, who you are? So we've been all memorizing, right, this week, memory work for this week. Remember Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Without looking up in the Bible, right, we're in 1 Corinthians 7 right now. But can we all say it right now together? Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Good job. Way to go. Let's keep it up. For this week, it's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 3:15. It's in the bulletin. So, hey, dads, let's get our families together and let's memorize and hide the Word of God in our hearts. Or moms, do that together with your children so that we know God's will and do it together. So let's ask for God's help in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're children of yours and we can't reach. It's out of our reach, the blessings of heaven. Would you please, for the sake of your Son, send your Spirit now to help us grasp these blessings of your covenant and make them our very own. Teach us, Lord, help us to be teachable, give us insight, and may we live out what we learn together from your word. Please tell us who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able, please stand with me for the reading of the word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now as a concession, not a command, I say this, I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am, but if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord, the wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. To the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever, and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife. You may be seated. So far, the reading of the Bible, God's Word. Let's say together responsively, Lord's Day 27 of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the Word of God concerning baptism. Question and answer 72, 73, and 74. We're going to focus on question and answer 74. I'll ask the question. Please respond together with one heart and voice. Christians, does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? No, only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sins. Why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the water of rebirth and the washing away of sins? God has good reason for these words. To begin with, he wants to teach us that the blood and Spirit of Christ take away our sins, just as water removes dirt from the body. But more importantly, he wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that we are as truly washed of our sins spiritually as our bodies are washed with water physically. Should infants also be baptized? Yes, infants as well as adults are included in God's covenant and people. And they, no less than adults, are promised deliverance from sin through Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit who works faith. Therefore, by baptism, the sign of the covenant, they too should be incorporated into the Christian church and distinguished from the children of unbelievers. This was done in the Old Testament by circumcision, which was replaced in the New Testament by baptism. So far, our confession of faith, I encourage you to keep the Bible and the catechism available along with the outline if that's helpful for you. So help us answer the question, you who? Dear congregation of Christ and brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're living in a culture that says, you do you. You are to do you. You who, and the culture around us in our society are simply answering that question for you, trying to tell you to self-identify. Have you heard about the young girl who says, I want to self-identify as a cat? Have you heard about this? Who does who here? You do you. And she's getting a tail attached to herself? You who? If you want to be the outdoorsy type, hey, just take a trip to Cabela's. You can get the outdoor outdoorsy look for you. If you know, you're writing your own story and trying to figure out then your story to find your destiny. You know, if you're a person who, well, you're writing this biography of yourself to show off on social media. What are we doing? What are we doing? We're really trying to create ourselves from scratch. We're self-identifying, answering this question, who am I? Who are you? And in these types of times in which we live, dear friends, we see in a lot of ways. I mean, you go on Spotify, for instance, to listen to some music, and if you get the premium subscription, you're told that you're going to get this playlist to figure out the person you want to be, to figure out the person that you want to be. And what we're seeing in our day and age, congregation, is really everyone saying to God, you can't make me. You can't make me. Have you ever said that to your mom and dad? We're saying that to God, who is the Father of all. You can't make me. Who are you? Are you going to do you? Or in baptism, are you going to allow God to tell you who you are? I preach to you the word of the Lord as it comes to us here as God counts the children of believers, the babies of Christians as holy. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. Would you read that together with me? I hope you have your Bibles open and handy. That's the main focus of the message here. The big idea is God counts children of believers as holy, based there on 1 Corinthians 7, 14. Let's read it together. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. And we want to see, first of all, they are holy because of the covenant, because of the covenant of grace that God makes with us and with our children. Covenant is how God wants you to spell assurance, assurance, the blessed assurance that he is what? What he promised. You who? God answers the question, I will be your God and you shall be my people. And God has set up a pattern of saying that not only to adults who believe on him, but he also makes that promise to their children. And that's what Paul is dealing with here in the church at Corinth. And I believe, congregation, we're becoming more and more in America a lot like Corinth. You would have a couple who weren't believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of them would hear the gospel, become a Christian. And now the question is, well, should I separate from my husband, or should I leave and divorce my wife? They're not a Christian. And Paul says, look, if they're willing to live with you, don't get a divorce. Don't separate. Stay together. Be at peace. Why? Because the children you have together are holy. You can influence them. You will be an influence upon your children, and you could be an influence upon your spouse who's not a Christian. God may be using you to bring your husband who's not a believer, your wife who's not a believer, and your children to become Christians. They are holy. What does holy mean? It doesn't mean you are necessarily changed from the inside, on the inside. Holy means that you are set apart to serve the Lord. I will be your God, you shall be my people, and I mark you off as holy, someone who is set apart, consecrated. Throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament congregation, God says, I have a day that's holy. It's the seventh day in the Old Testament scriptures. Today it's the first day of the week. It's set apart for us to serve the Lord. There was a holy temple, a holy space and place. That was the temple and the tabernacle in the Old Testament. That's where God's people went to worship and offer sacrifices. There were holy utensils, instruments, right in the temple and the tabernacle to serve the Lord. And dear friends, what we see together in the text, the Apostle Paul is using Old Testament language and lingo here. He said, unbelieving parents have unbelieving children, and those children are unclean. They are not holy. They're not set apart to serve the Lord. Children of believers are not unclean, uncircumcised, right? They are holy, so they deserve to receive the mark of the holy covenant of grace. Covenant is how God wants you to spell assurance. And the Catechism mentions the Bible verses to back this up. If you turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 17, verse 7. Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, where it all begins. Really, God makes a covenant with Adam and Eve, a covenant of grace with them, and he includes their children. And we pick it up here in Genesis 17 at verse 7, page 36. Page 36. Genesis 17, verse 7. And there God says to Abraham, the father of all the faithful, the Bible calls him, the father of many nations, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring and to your children after you. And then later on, God says, I'll give you the sign of that covenant, which is circumcision. Chapter 17 of Genesis, Genesis chapter 17, verse 11. This is the covenant I make with you. Verse 10, every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. At 8 days old, the male baby was to be circumcised. This is how God spells assurance. It's a covenant. It's a promise God makes to Abraham and to his children. It was certainly the case for Noah and his family. It was certainly the case for Jacob and his children. It was for David and his child, Solomon, and his other children as well. God is a God of the covenant for us and for our children. And brothers and sisters, we are then to call our children what God calls them. I think that's one of the practical points here. What does God call our children? God calls them holy, set apart for his service. God calls them, including them in his covenant of grace, to be his children. They are labeled by the Lord himself. He identifies them as his own. They are a part of his people. That's how we need to be treating our children. That's how we are to call upon the name of the Lord. Call our children what God calls them himself. See, how does God see your children as Christians? Are they in limbo, or are they set apart in Christ Jesus to serve him? That's the question. I mean, are our children in Jesus Christ just kind of in limbo here? Well, they're unbelievers for now, but hopefully one day they'll decide to be a Christian and decide to profess faith in Jesus Christ, so they're in limbo land. We really don't know what to name or call them and how to treat them. Jesus Christ says, go and make disciples of all the nations. The nations in Matthew 28, 19 and following are the ones who are to be what? Taught and baptized. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them, Jesus says to his disciples, all that I have taught you. So these are my disciples. What's the answer to the question, who are our children? They are disciples of Jesus Christ. So if we want to raise our children, we want to teach them the gospel, we want to share with them the Christian faith and read the Bible and pray with them, we are treating them as those whom are set apart. So therefore, they should be, and they should be baptized. Call your children what God calls them. And nowhere in the scriptures, dear friends, do we ever see God excluding the children of the covenant from that circle of promise. Nowhere do we see God saying, I'm going to put children out as we go into the New Testament scriptures. Paul is still referring to them as holy before the Lord. Nowhere does God put them out of his covenant of grace. Therefore, neither should we. Who are our children? Boys and girls, have you been baptized? If you've been baptized, would you raise your hand? Oh, adults too, that's great, yeah. Okay, good. Everyone's, almost everyone. It's okay if you haven't been baptized, it's okay. But I also have another question for you. Boys and girls, have you been baptized? Good, raise your hand, now we put it down. Now raise your hand, are you a member of the Church of Jesus Christ? Are you a member of the Church of Jesus Christ? All of your hands should be up too, because you've been baptized. You've been set apart to worship Jesus Christ, to love him with all your heart, just like your mom and dad. Our children are not in limbo. They are in Christ. And Jesus said, and that's one of the other texts in the Heidelberg Catechism, let the little children come to me. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14. Luke chapter 19 as well. Let the little children come to me, for of such belong the kingdom of heaven. That's the promise of Jesus. The covenant of God, the Lord includes our children of believers in, and he makes promises to them. Because they're included, they are children of promise. Because they are included in the covenant, they are children of promise. And what does that mean? God reaches out to us first. God reaches out to us first and to our children. Look up Acts chapter 2 with me. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, you can find that on page 1563 in the Pew Bible. Jesus ascended into heaven, poured out the Spirit of Pentecost. Peter is preaching, hey, you crucified Jesus. You killed God, the Son. And everyone's freaking out like, oh no, what do we do now? We're goners. And Peter says, all right, I'll tell you what to do. Verse 37, they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Peter said, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, verse 38, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's the promise. Forgiveness, the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. God makes a promise to us and to our children, and the promise of God is God reaches out for us. See, it's not the picture in the Bible. Infant baptism, dear friends, is a picture of God's grace and the gift of faith. God's grace and the gift of faith. You who are you? You're included in the covenant, and you are someone God made a promise to, a promise of forgiveness and the gift of faith through the Holy Spirit. So God is the picture of God's relationship with us is not us about, you know, groping after God, trying to find God. Where did he go? I can't find him. I'm lost and I've lost God. It's the God of grace coming after us to grasp us because we cannot and will not ultimately find him. That's what the action of God is in the waters of baptism for us and for our children. He's reaching out for us, and he keeps reaching out to you and to me. Repent of your sin. Turn your back on your sin and face Jesus Christ and ask him to save you from your sins and to forgive you of all of your sins. That's what we mean by repentance. God reaches out to us. Now reach out to him by faith. Baptism. Is God reaching out to us? And therefore, we come with our children in prayer. Lord Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You promised, let my children come to you. So I bring you my child that could care less about you, that's allergic to your love, that wants nothing to do with the Bible and the Church of Jesus Christ. You promised, be faithful, let them come to you. My child that is disabled, my child that has this struggle going on. Dear friends, that's how we pray for our children. Jesus promise. So we bring them to the Bible. We bring them to church because we want to bring them to Jesus Christ. And we bring them by name to him at his throne of grace in prayer. Baptism, it's a promise. It's not a prediction. Baptism is a promise. It is not a prediction. God is not making a prediction about children because, dear friends, there are baptized people in hell right now. And this is what we need to be afraid of. Let's be more afraid of this than the coronavirus. Let's be more afraid of this than wars. Let's be more afraid of this than the stock market plunging. Let us be afraid, dear friends, of external religion. This is not a magic shower, right? Just because the baby was baptized is not a prediction they're going to heaven. God makes his promises, and he is faithful. But those promises aren't just here to be sitting here. It's for you and me to grasp them, to take them and make them our own. Have you made the promise God spoke to you in your baptism? Your very own. Have you publicly said, yes, Jesus, I love you because you first loved me. I mean, that's how it works. When I was growing up, I didn't choose my dad to be my dad. I didn't choose my mom. Would you please be my mom? I want you to be my mommy or my daddy. No, my parents, right, chose me for me to be born, for me to live, and then I just accept it. You who? Do you do you? Or will we let God do us, do you? Make me and name me, redo me by your grace. Therefore, those who are children of promise, included in the covenant of grace, should receive the mark of that covenant. God marks his family right from the start. If you would say, hey, pastor, I want you to prove to me, I don't see an infant baptism in the Bible. Where is it? I don't find it in the Bible. Let me share with you where there's an infant baptism. Would that seal the deal for you? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, page 1656. 1 Corinthians 10, page 1656. Paul, who just was saying, right, your children, or a child of a believer, is wholly set apart to serve the Lord. Now he says, he's borrowing the language, going back in time to the Old Testament. So he says, for I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. And here's where we got to be afraid, right? Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. There it is. There's an infant baptism. The fathers and mothers of the faith were baptized along with their families in what we say in the text here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, or baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It's talking about the old covenant people of Israel. God is the same God. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And throughout the scriptures in the book of Acts, God saves individuals, and then he makes a promise to the household, the family. He saves not only individuals, but the household. And that's what the Heidelberg Catechism, a tried and true confession of the Reformed churches throughout the ages, in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, we're talking about there. So the children of believers, God marks his family right from the start. In the Old Testament, it was the mark of circumcision, that they're set apart to serve the Lord. Now, dear friends, that Jesus Christ has shed his precious blood to forgive sin and sinners. We no longer need a bloody sign. And that sign of the circumcision has now been replaced by the waters of baptism. Application point. This is the greatest evangelism program ever. Do you realize that? This is the greatest evangelism program ever. God baptizing the children of believers and nurturing them as we train in the church and the home and the school together to make disciples of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us be comforted and encouraged by that. Let us be warned against external religion. But dear friends, this is the greatest evangelism program ever. So we need to focus on that. Certainly not to the exclusion of our commitment and responsibility to go and make disciples of the nations. But God is evangelizing through his church. So celebrate your child's baptism every year. You celebrate their birthday, get out that baptismal form, and every year, remember the date in which your child was baptized and celebrate that and tell them why you baptized them, why God wanted them baptized. Tell them about the truth they can touch. Water. Have them do one of these. Hit my forehead. Oh, there was water on my head. God reaches out to me. I belong to Jesus. You who are you? Will you do you? Will I? Are we nurturing or training our children, evangelizing them to know whose they are? That God redoes. He rewires us. Well, what are some of the other applications here, dear friends? Find out who you are in your baptism. Who are you? Whose are you? You are the Lord's, and so we don't have to take the road trip somewhere else to try to discover, well, who am I? Where, you know, whether it's social media or the road trips of movies or finding my identity and security and friends and looking over here or there and comparing myself with someone else on social media, for instance. Go and find your identity and security, who you are, in your baptism. Who are you? You belong to the Lord. You're holy in His eyes, set apart to worship Christ, to love Him with all you have and are. That's who you are. And that's when you find your identity there, you can find your spiritual security. Why don't you do this, young people? That's what I'm thinking of. Who am I? You know, you're struggling with body image, right? And you're depressed. You feel insecure. I'm overweight, or I have this nose, my ears, my eyes. You know, I don't look like him, or I don't look like her. And we're depressed, and we're anxious, and we're all upset and uptight. Go and find who you are in the waters of baptism. And in your relationship with your mom and dad, young people, I want you to think about this. You've been baptized to become a believer. You've been baptized to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you profess your faith and are going to profess your faith, God wants you to see yourself this way. God wants you to see your parents this way. God wants you to see your parents, your mom and dad, as your brother, older brother in the faith, and as your older sister in Jesus Christ. Find your identity there in baptism. Second application, you who give your children a holy education, give your children a holy education. They are holy, set apart to serve the Lord. So let's give our children a holy education. So the church and the school and the home are all working together on the same page in cooperation together, right? Because we want holy children. So we want a holy place. We want a holy curriculum. And we want holy teachers training our children to be set apart to serve Christ because Christ is King. So ask yourself, let's ask ourselves the question as moms and dads who have made the vow to raise up our children in this faith, to become disciples of Jesus Christ, that's what they are. Let's ask ourselves the question. So if Jesus were physically present here, being dad for my kids, where would Jesus want them to be taught? What would Jesus do? They're wearing the name of Jesus Christ by their baptism. So we want to give our children an education with the Bible as their foundation, with God as the goal for Him to be glorified. We want Jesus as the center, the central point of that education. Let's fulfill our vow together as the church, school, and the family, helping our children see all of the little truths of math and science and history in light of the big truth that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And then the final application, let's be hopeful. Let's be hopeful that children of the covenant who die in infancy are held by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been a miscarriage. There's a sudden infant death syndrome. If there's a toddler that has died, that child has been baptized. And Christian parents, we're to stand on the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the little children come to me, for such belong the kingdom of heaven, and that's the comfort of the covenant. That's the comfort we receive as we look into that little grave and grieve, and as we still mourn as we still grieve, let us be encouraged. Jesus said, I let the little children come to me so that they are now held in my arms. I have dried their tears. They are not afraid. And they are not alone. Yoo-hoo. Let God tell you who you are. Amen. Let's come to the table of the Lord next week with these thoughts in our minds, summarized for us in a liturgical form, a form of worship in the Forms and Prayers book, page 50. If you'd turn with me and to page 50 in the Forms and the Prayers book.